7:43 here on the Mighty 690. Happy Friday. Hope it's off to a great start. And it's time for our conversation with State Senator Virgil Peck. And good morning, Senator. How are you? Thanks for being here.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity, Shay, to be here. It's so much nicer being in southeast Kansas versus Topeka. But I do have a job to do. But my goodness, we have endured some really nasty conditions up there. And when I got up this morning, it was so nice. I thought, my goodness, I'm glad to be back home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're not kidding about the driving conditions. We go from slick roads to some heavy set fog in the area. So it's been a tough week for the road travelers.
Even this morning, Shay, there is fog for those who have not gotten out yet. There is some fog, not extreme, but you certainly need to be careful if you're following someone and you decide to pass them on the highway, because you're traveling at a high speed. The people coming the other way are at a high speed, and you can meet up pretty quickly. So make sure you're cautious this morning until you can see better.
Well, I know we have some great updates, including some information about taxes. So let's dive right into it.
We will get started on taxes. Yes, sir. We passed a tax plan in the Kansas legislature. As vice chair of the Senate Assessment and Taxation Committee, I have a seat at the table when final negotiations are going on between the House and the Senate. The plan we passed, Shay, is, I believe, probably one of the best plans I have seen as a legislator. For those who wish to go to kslegislature.org and look at it, it is House Bill 2284. The Conference Committee report on House Bill 2284. It includes several provisions. It cuts taxes on every single Kansan, no matter their age, no matter their income level. To go through some of the provisions briefly, Social Security income tax, the state income tax on Social Security, will be eliminated if this bill goes into effect, and we'll talk about if it goes into effect here in just a little bit. So that's a good thing for senior citizens. Mm-hmm. Currently, just briefly again as a reminder, if a person on Social Security earns less than $75,000, they pay no state income taxes. If they earn $75,001, they have the privilege, that's in air quotes by the way, of paying income taxes on the entire income. So that $1 can cost a person some $1,200 in state income taxes. We also put into a provision, we increase the exemption to the first $100,000 of a home's appraised value as it relates to the statewide 20 mills property taxes that goes to help fund education. So this is a property tax cut. Shay, we hear frequently legislators do about how we need to work on property taxes. There's not a lot that the legislature can do on property taxes, because we assess a 20 mills for schools, 1.5 mils for state buildings. So we have moved the exemption, so the first $100,000 of a home's appraised value would not face the 20 mil property tax. Shay, in southeast Kansas, got a lot of houses that are not going to reach that $100,000. So right. This is a tax cut for everyone, but particularly for the lower income, and sometimes frequently these are individuals are senior citizens. We also simplified the state income tax code. Currently, we have four rates, 0, 3.1, 5.25, and 5.7. Now, the 5.7, which is the highest rate, people talk, well, that's for the wealthy. Shay, it's not for the wealthy. It starts at $30,000 for individuals and $60,000 for married filing jointly. So if a person considers $60,000 wealthy, okay, then it's for the wealthy, but I do not consider $60,000, particularly if you've got a married couple, both of them working, bringing in $45,000, $50,000 each. $60,000 is well below their income level, and they wouldn't be considered wealthy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we went from the current four rates down to two rates. So we have a dual rate, zero again, and then a single rate of 5.25 for every income above that. So a person, and by the way, we also increase the dependent exemption and put an inflation factor on that. So that dependent exemption goes from $2,250 to $2,300 per person. So for a family of four, you're looking at four times $2,300, which is $9,600. And it goes up every year with inflation. We also put an inflation adjuster for the standard deduction. Most Kansans, 70% of Kansans, take the standard deduction rather than itemize on their income taxes. So by putting that inflation factor in there, that benefit continues to keep pace with inflation rather than be diminished with time. And so if a, and by the way, single filers, the first, once you get to your taxable income, then you further reduce that by $6,150. And for joint filers, you reduce it by $12,300. So everyone gets a tax cut. And when we ran the numbers, Shay, over 300,000 Kansans in this legislation would no longer be paying income taxes to the state. Now, these are poor, low-income individuals, middle and low-income individuals. So when we look at that, people say, well, this is all about the rich. It's not at all about the rich. As a matter of fact, it's more for the lower income than it is for anyone else. Also, part of that legislation is moving up the elimination of the state sales tax on groceries from currently it's set to expire January the 1st of 2025. Sales tax on food would go away. We moved that up to April the 1st. Now, that's kind of a squeeze. I'm not convinced 100% that that's going to be real easy to accomplish, but I think it can be accomplished. It's just going to be a challenge for some of our businesses. And so those factors, all those provisions are in House Bill 2284, passed the Senate 25-11. We had some members missing, passed the House 81-37. They also had some members missing. And so there's talk that the governor will veto it. Honestly, Shay, if she does, she tips her hand that she is not at all a middle-of-the-road governor. I will just say it flat out. She ran as a middle-of-the-road governor on compromise and working with others. When it comes to taxes, she's not. She said she's going to veto this. We shall see if she does veto it. We have already started visiting with members in the Senate, and I know the House has as well, because the Senate will need 27 votes to override any veto. The House will need 84 votes to override any veto. The House, we're told, they'll get there. They will get their 84, maybe 85 or 86 votes to override her veto. In the Senate, it will be close. We've got four members who we have had discussions with about the fact that this is the tax plan for 2024. Because some legislators, they feel like, Shay, okay, well, if this doesn't go through, if the governor vetoes it, we'll get another tax plan. No, we will not. I can tell you that right now as vice chair of the Senate Assessment and Taxation Committee. This is the last train out of town. You want to cut taxes, legislator? This is your opportunity. We did this last year. We worked hard. Governor vetoed it. We were unable to override the veto. We again put, honestly, a better package together for all taxpayers, but particularly for the middle and low income. And it's one of those things, certainly, the more you earn, the more you save on anything. Same way with the sales tax elimination on food. The more you spend on groceries, the more you save. So no one's trying to say that the elimination of sales tax on groceries is for the wealthy, but we shall see what happens. It's a good tax plan, good for every single Kansan, good for the state of Kansas. We've got to stop the bleeding. Kansas has an out-migration and has for years. We're losing population. We're losing taxpayers. They moved to other states with lower taxes. And we got a graph yesterday from the Kansas Chamber in the Commerce Committee. I didn't bring it with me, but all of our neighboring states have lower income taxes than the state of Kansas. And so a lot of people are moving south into Oklahoma and even into Texas because they have no income tax. Tennessee has no income tax. There are nine states with zero income tax. So if we're going to be at 525, we're still not going to be that low. But with some of the exemptions, it really helps out our low income. That was a long explanation to a bill, but I just believe it's important for listeners
and
to
be aware of. And I agree, and I'm glad you did take the time to explain it, because like you said, I think it impacts every Kansan listening to this program right now, where whether you are considered lower income, middle of the road, or upper class. I mean, this is like you said, this is a proposal that really can benefit everybody.
It absolutely does. And so I'm excited about it. I think it's a great thing. I'll be disappointed if the governor vetoes it, but yes, she does. She does. And then we'll see if we've got the votes to override. When I was here 2 weeks ago, I've got to cover today before we run out of time. When I was here 2 weeks ago, I promised the little guy, James, I call him little guy because he's kind of short and smaller than the rest of us. Good guy. But anyway, I promised him that I would reveal the results today of my 2024 legislative survey.
Okay.
Haven't told anybody. So, breaking news
This is a treat.
And I'll be putting out a press release with the results. But I put out a survey, and I asked 4 questions in the survey, provided some information first on the survey. One, question number one, has to do with foreign ownership of rural land in Kansas. The question says, should the legislature pass a law that stops America's adversaries from purchasing rural land in Kansas? I'd given a little bit of information on that topic in the survey. And it's interesting, got 482 surveys returned to this point. I haven't gotten today's mail yet. But of 482, 447 said yes, the legislature should pass a law that stops America's adversaries from purchasing rural land in Kansas. And even people that write me snarky comments and disgusting words and say things that it's like, really? You're going to go down that road? But
right.
They still said yes. So this is certainly across all spectrums. Kansans in District 15, which I sent the survey to 5 counties, Montgomery County, LeBec County, Neosho County, Chautauqua County, and Elk County. Only 10 people said no. That's 2%. And then the undecideds, 5%, I guess they were undecided. They didn't know really how to answer the question. Question number 2, I ask, should the legislature continue to reduce income taxes by going to a single rate, which we just covered at length, because last year we passed the legislation. The governor said she doesn't like a single rate. So I thought, well, I'll ask the area residents, what do they think? Should we push for a single rate? 56.8% said yes, we should. So that's a pretty significant majority. 16% said no. And this, I found it interesting, there was a fairly high undecideds. 27% said we don't know. We can't determine. We're undecided on this. So that shows that the majority of those who responded, they do want to go to a single rate. Now, the one that has garnered the most attention across the state, because the governor's number one priority and on her wish list is to expand Medicaid in the state of Kansas. And we constantly hear, well, there are surveys that show that 70% of Kansans want Medicaid expansion. Well, I will just say it flat out, that's baloney. Because the question that they have asked is very one-sided. It basically says, and I forgot to bring the question with me, but if we expand Medicaid, it will help rural hospitals. Do you think we should help rural hospitals? Well, who's going to say no to that?
Right.
Of course. But so I put out some information, and I'm just going to go through that and spend a little bit more time on this, but be brief, because currently a lot of people are unaware that Medicaid covers a lot of Kansans already. It covers children with autism, children in families up to 250% of the federal poverty level. Medicaid expansion, by the way, Shay, will provide taxpayer-funded health insurance for those up to 138% of the federal poverty level. Got to remember that number, 138%. Currently, children up to 250% are covered, so we're not talking about children. Pregnant mothers are covered up to 171% of the federal poverty level, and for a year after that, at 171%. The disabled are covered if they're determined disabled by the Social Security Administration. Physically, intellectually, and developmentally disabled persons, those with traumatic brain injuries, the blind, and the list goes on, but that covers most of it, who is already covered.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take out these individuals, they would not be part of Medicaid expansion because they're already part of Medicaid. We're talking about non-disabled, working age, meaning age 19 to 64, adults. Why should we cover individuals who are not disabled, working-age adults, on the taxpayer-funded plan? An additional factor that is important for individuals to know, about 40% of these people that would be covered by Medicaid expansion are currently on a private insurance or another government program. And if we expand Medicaid, a lot of people who have insurance through the exchange, through the Obamacare exchange, will no longer qualify. They have to go on Medicaid rather than on an insurance plan. So I'm not going to go on. Pardon me, there is some more information, but because of time, I'll just get to the results. The question is, on the survey, should Medicaid be expanded to cover non-disabled working-age adults? Yes, 21%. No, 65%. Overwhelmingly, no. Undecided, 14%. And these numbers, percentages may not come to 100 because of rounding. But I found it interesting that when I ask individuals who I provide some information to, should we expand Medicaid? 65% said no, we should not. And only 21%, 1 in 5, said we should. I found that interesting and beneficial for me as a legislator.
Absolutely.
I mentioned one more question, and that is I ask, should the voters be allowed to consider a constitutional amendment to cap property valuation increases? And currently there's legislation to allow voters to determine if the House passes it, should we cap valuation increases at 4%? Pardon me, having a little throat issues here this morning. 72% said yes. They do want the opportunity to do something to control property taxes. 8% said no. And 20% said they just don't know. And that's fine. They don't feel like, I guess, they've got adequate information. But again, that's the results of the survey. I'm going to be putting that information out. So if you want to talk about it more in the news, that's going to be up to you. Don't have it right now, but I thought the survey results were very telling to me as a legislator.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Thanks so much for stopping by, Senator. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity this morning, Shay.
Absolutely. Look at news coming up next on KGGF.
You are always in a safe, caring, and loving home at Medical Lodge, the mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville.